This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good afternoon and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. Just gone 12:05. Thanks very much to Tim for the news, and thanks indeed to Scotty for the morning show, and Lance on the desk, who's now been replaced or supplanted by or added to by Julia. Welcome, Julia, again for another afternoon's volunteer duties at the front desk. Gordon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chris, and it is a good afternoon. It's beautiful out there.
It is beautiful. Phil?
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
I guess it is rather nice outside.
Yes.
But
yes.
We don't do weather on the show.
Well, they did forecast 22 and it's now nearly 17 degrees.
Yeah, it will get there.
Around about 2 o'clock.
I want to say hello to a couple of guys who are doing wonderful things for me. I mean, at my house. Richard and Chad. They're busily working on my brickworks.
Are they going to be listening while they're laying on the job?
They might well be.
Oh, good. Good.
Yes, we'll find out when I get home tonight. I heard our names on the radio.
We've got some great stuff to talk about today.
Well, we do. As part of Youth Week, we'll be talking a little later.
To a youth.
I hope he qualifies as a youth.
I think he does.
He's actually a very mature youth.
Yes, mature-aged youth.
Yes.
Yes.
I think he might just scrape in.
I think he scrapes
to the
in.
Catholic
Anybody
category.
That's younger than me is younger than me, yes.
Well, he's half the age of the youngest of us.
Right. Well, hello.
So, relatively speaking, he's a kid.
Yes, well, he's much younger. He's about 3 times younger than I am. Mm-hmm.
Oh, frightful.
Isn't that terrible?
Okay, then it is terrible.
Yeah, oh, no, I'm not complaining. I'm still here. Oh.
They're only numbers.
Oh. As you can hear, I've got a dicky throat, but we won't let that go through.
I thought it was a cough myself. But
yes.
Yeah, there we are. Yeah. But we're also starting our queer history series in this show. And
yeah.
We'll be playing, there's about 20 episodes of these, and we'll be, 10 episodes. We'll be playing them over the next few weeks.
Oh, good.
Not all together.
No.
We might have a break for one
we'll
or two.
Spread it out to keep everybody interested.
We will.
Yeah. Now, do you remember, Phil? You brought this up about the Pride match. The Pride match
a few weeks ago
was in the NAB
Sydney
Club,
with no Melbourne teams.
Yes, that's right. It was in Sydney with no Melbourne teams. You're right, and it was Pride match to combat homophobia in football. But we read in the paper this morning
that it worked a treat,
and it worked a treat.
It promoted homophobia in football.
Yes, certainly did, because there's two people. One person, I believe, was taken out of the ground for homophobic slurs against a Richmond player, and then there was another one against one of the Bulldogs players.
Yeah,
So the Pride game really, really worked, I think.
Well, it's creating awareness, but if in fact you don't have these examples of where the training to date has fallen down, they won't know whether or not it's been effective. So obviously it hasn't been effective, so they've got to put them all in the room again, bang their heads together and say, listen here, you goose faces.
Well, this was a, quote, fan who was slurring.
Yes.
But, there's a lot of education needed to be done.
Oh, look, and education is the answer, and it's basically the answer to everything. If you are educated into the way things should be and the proper way to conduct yourself, it's fine, you know, but you don't get that. And as I always say, no child is born homophobic. You have to be taught to be homophobic, and so it's got to come from somewhere. So unless they start teaching the younger children, very young children, about homophobia and what it means to be different, they're never going to get anywhere.
No. That's true. So
We'll get off our soapboxes now.
Oh, all right then, if you really think so.
Back onto the lounge.
Back onto the lounge, yes. Back on the lounge with Eddie.
Yeah.
Okay.
How is he, by the way?
Young Edward the dog is fine. He's watching TV right now. He doesn't listen to radio.
Ah, okay then. Well, I was going to say, the little cat across the road from me has got 9 lives. You already just got 1 life. And so has Joe Vella, Glenn Vella, here on Joy. 1 life.
Joy 94.9.
For over 25 years, the Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives have been collecting and preserving Australia's queer history. A not-for-profit organisation, the Archives rely on your support through membership, financial and queer memorabilia donations. To find out more, email algarchives@hotmail.com or web search the Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives.
I am a very stylish girl.
Melbourne, Queen City of the South.
Hello, I'm Graham Willett of the Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives. Welcome to Melbourne, Queen City of the South, a queer history series.
How do I look?
Very good.
Today, from sin to sickness, the medicalisation of homosexuality.
At the start of the 20th century, most people in Melbourne and the rest of the Western world were of the firm opinion that men who had sex with other men and women who had sex with other women were, without doubt, sinners, acting of their own volition against the natural order of God and man. Over the first half of the century, this attitude changed to a large extent, with homosexuality being viewed less as a sin and more a sickness, an illness which could probably be treated with varying degrees of success.
In February 1903, Truth newspaper's front page carried an eye-catching headline, The Sin of Sodom. Truth was starting a homosexual panic, following from some fairly sensational claims about dealings between journalists at the Herald newspaper and Newsboys. The article accused homosexuals of molesting young boys and stereotyped homosexuals as dreadful, unhealthy creatures connected with the theatre. Truth, however, also warned that homosexuals can be perfectly ordinary-looking men. Articles like this were to be seen in the pages of the tabloid press for the next 70 or so years and coloured society's views of homosexuality for a much longer period.
Interestingly enough, 18 months later, a Frankston man who was arrested for whipping a boy and then attempting an unnatural offence was referred to as a sexual pervert. Perhaps the first glimmering of the idea that some people enacted certain behaviours without making a conscious moral decision beforehand. The word sexomania was first used in a report involving a man-girl pedophilia case in 1904. More evidence of a growing awareness of sexual transgressors being considered mentally ill rather than evil.
By 1906, tabloid newspapers were carrying headlines such as The Unsexed Men in Female Form, The Ellis Weiniger Sex Theory, and Some Famous Homosexuals. There was talk of the new pseudoscience of sex psychology and gave some credence to the theory that there were all sorts of gradations between the masculine woman and the feminine man. It was stated, however, both the masculine woman and the feminine man are to be avoided. The feminine man is a wretched creature without decision, without character. Such scientific and pseudoscientific theories gained popularity over the next few decades, so by the end of the 1930s, Truth was able to ask, crime or disease, sexual offenders sentenced at Ballarat, and sex offenders and what to do with them, judge's strong complaint, with articles calling for hospitalisation of sex offenders and homosexuals as mentally ill, rather than jail sentences as criminals. Several judges were of the opinion that sex offenders are not quite sane, but jail was the worst place for them.
By 1942, there was the case of two homosexual men who pleaded guilty to a charge of committing an act against the course of nature after their names were found in an address book belonging to another homosexual. They were sentenced by a judge to half an hour's imprisonment in the body of the courtroom. After hearing evidence from a well-known Melbourne psychiatrist, the judge considered that the men were behaving in a manner completely natural to them, if not to most other men. He stated that as they had pleaded guilty under the law, he had no choice but to find them guilty and sentence them, but made their sentence as light as he could. His honour's treatment of the two men was considered by a well-known psychiatrist to be a true indication that enlightenment is coming to our courts, said the press at the time.
I am a very stylish girl.
Melbourne, Queen City of the South.
Well, there you are. That's an interesting little kaleidoscope of stories from the early days of Australia.
Yes, 1942. That judge was quite modern, wasn't he?
He was. And what a way down the path we have come.
Yes, because now we are actually into Youth Week, where we have to do a, you know, we've got young people in the throes of coming out now.
And in the studio, we have with us Callum.
Good afternoon, Callum.
Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having
me. You were listening to that and you were thinking, oh, my God.
That sums it up pretty well, I think, actually, my reaction. Yeah, it was a very different time. Well, it's an alarming time.
Well,
yeah.
Indeed. Well, I think Gordon and myself come from an era where, in fact, to be gay was...
It was a criminal offence.
Yeah.
And, yes, the police weren't particularly our friends.
No.
And I don't know where Phil is on that spectrum.
I'm somewhere in the cusp.
Yes.
Because growing up, it was very much like that, and now I enjoy the freedom of progress.
Well, we're still going through that progression of getting slowly. Equality and everything. Mm-hmm. But Callum, from your amazement then, did you have an easy coming out, and presuming that you are gay, that you needed to come out?
Mine was extremely easy, even compared to other people who I've heard stories, you know, coming out who were also my age. I was very, very lucky. No one stressed out at all about it. No one worried. My grandparents were a little bit uncomfortable, but yeah. As they were discussing it at a family Christmas, just off to the side when I was sitting nearby, they said, oh, no, I think we're just old-fashioned, and got over it very quickly.
Wow.
Yeah, so everything. No one haven't lost any friends, haven't lost any, like, haven't damaged any familial relationships, anything like that. It's nice and easy.
Callum, what about at school? Were you bullied or were you picked on at school for being a little bit different?
I was bullied and picked on because I was a theatre nerd and because I... didn't really care what other people thought of me and danced around and had fun. I got called gay a lot and that sort of thing. In an attempt to sort of
make you feel downtrodden.
But never, like, after I actually came out sort of late in school years, no one actually, by that point we were sort of 17-ish. I think we had quite a mature school year, the one I was in. By the time we reached that stage, people didn't care. And it, like, came up as gossipy sort of, but people... You know, like, I was never bullied for actually coming out, but was when I was younger and would dance around and basically be a class clown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And was this your coming out to your peers, or was this known to the educators, to the teaching staff?
I don't know how many of the teachers knew. I came out to my mates first, as people generally do. You come out to yourself, then your friends, then your family, then the world. Mm-hmm. And none of my mates seemed to care. I know that the counsellor I was seeing at the time for depression knew. And was very supportive as well. But, my depression wasn't linked to me coming out or coming to terms with my sexuality. That was a completely different thing.
Oh, right.
I'm not sure. I'm sure some of the teachers had an inkling. Turned out when I came back after moving up to Melbourne, went back to my hometown in Bairnsdale, chatted to my old bosses there and from just, you know, I worked in a burger joint. Good hamburgers, George's hamburgers.
Uh-huh. Big advert.
If you happen to be down in Bairnsdale, how many media laws did I just break?
I don't know.
I introduced my boyfriend when we went down there for a visit, that sort of thing, and no, they didn't care. No one. I know people down in my hometown definitely had a harder time coming out as well. It could be a bit of a rough area and a bit of a homophobic area, but I think just the particular circles that I ran in, the particular people that I chose to, you know, spend my time with, were a good group.
Oh, good, yeah.
So what progress have you seen in the general communities in the last 5 to 10 years in your gay out life?
I think people not using that so gay or you're gay or don't be gay or that's, you know, like as to being bad has been a huge difference. A really huge difference. At first, I didn't think that much of it, really. I thought, well, no. Is this really going to be, I mean, it's just a word, is this going to be, because I'd grown up with that, you know, and used it myself all that sort of time. Oh, that's gay, or, you know, don't be gay, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Before realising the more negative impact it has, and I remember at one point, my sister's partner, he was, they were just walking down the street and there were a couple of kids at the playground and one of them, it was his little cousin, said that was gay at a family reunion, and he just went, oi, what's wrong with being gay? And all the kids just sort of like, oh crap, there's an adult, you know, it's a 20-something-year-old telling, you know, like, yeah. You know, and sort of like, I realised at that point, oh, wow, this is like really making a difference, because he's a big blokey bloke, absolutely lovely, not homophobic in the slightest, but when you see other people who, you know, it doesn't affect them personally, say, you know, a big blokey heterosexual Aussie guy who loves his footy, picking up on those sorts of things and stopping them from doing it, it makes a difference.
I've always found that men who are completely happy with their sexuality, hetero men that are completely happy with their sexuality, are always the easiest ones to get on with.
Oh, yeah.
They really are, because they know that you're not hitting on them, but, you know, and they're quite...
Everyone's relaxed and comfortable.
Yeah.
And it... By the corollary, do you think, therefore, that those that sort of get their backs up or really react to that have got something to hide? Their internalised homophobia?
Yeah, internalised homophobia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
maybe they protest too much.
Yeah, well, this is exactly right. Yeah. So you still live basically in the country, don't you?
Well, I live in Geelong. So it depends how far out you've been.
Yes, more third world than country.
Electricity is a great thing.
Oh, we're getting that soon in Blackburn.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I read about it in the printed press.
it's a big city with a country feel.
So is there much... like homophobia in Geelong or what?
I'm not out and about that much in Geelong. Like, mm-hmm. I don't really frequent any of the clubs out and around there. I'm not on the streets late at night, that sort of thing. I know a lot of my mates or people that I've met through, say, my boyfriend's sister and all her friends, a big group of tradies and that sort of
all
thing.
Right. Yep.
They're all lovely, don't seem to have any issues. Mind you, I don't see them that often. And I know some people are still sort of... uncomfortable and will go, sorry, didn't mean to say that. I'll be like, it's fine, relax.
Well, that's good. So they've got an awareness already what is politically correct.
Yes, very much so.
Yet you just called them a big group of tradies.
Well, that was their job.
Hello.
We're a big group of broadcasters.
I was going to say tradies
not
can
all
be
broads.
Very proud little peoples as well. Yes. You're on Joy 94.9. Gordon, Phil and Chris and Callum here on Being There Done That.
Keep us on air. Become a member today. 1300 Joy 949.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been There Done That. And our guest is Callum. A callow young youth.
Oh, callow. Wait, no, I was thinking of tallow and that made me think of fatty candles. Didn't mind.
No.
Not a callow youth at all. You're Callum the youth.
I'm a Callum youth. Thank you.
How much longer are you a youth?
Oh wait. When's the cutoff? Is 26?
Yes,
I've got one more year of enjoying my youth before I'm thrown into true adulthood.
Welcome to the clan.
Oh, goodness me, I'm not ready for it yet.
So, what are your plans for the future then? We young people, I don't know whether I never grew up with a plan for the future except to have a house of my own by the time I was 30.
That'd be nice.
And I did actually get it, but the young people today have got very little chance of getting a house by the time they're 30 with the way the house prices are.
Yeah,
you have to admit.
My partner's bought a place.
Oh,
my boyfriend. So I live vicariously through him when it comes to home ownership.
Oh right,
I live vicariously. Seriously with him.
Oh.
That's nice. Plans for the future. I would like steady employment and to start a family, I think.
Whoa.
What about this? Would you marry your partner if you had the chance to same-sex marriage?
Certainly.
How long have you been together?
We've been together four and a bit years.
Oh, that's pretty good going.
How long does it feel?
About that. He might be listening. What
good
have I
answer.
Done? I'm not personally ready for marriage yet, but definitely in the future.
Yeah.
It's an option that you might be able to consider.
Exactly.
That's the whole thing about it, isn't it? We really need the option of whether we want to get married or whether we don't. But we should have the option.
Yeah, exactly. It's having the choice the same as everyone else.
Mm-hmm. But I see that the local government is going to bring in adoption laws for same-sex couples, which is going to be rather interesting if it gets through the local parliament, the state parliament.
It'll make the whole process much easier.
Well, of course it will, and it may result in same-sex couples being able to adopt a child rather than go through the whole process of having surrogacy and all the rest of it.
Yeah. I've had offers of wombs for surrogacy.
Have you?
Oh, I have. I've had
womb for rent.
Yeah, womb for rent. Yeah, I've had. I think I've had three different wombs offered. I think.
Wow.
I think they'd be rather gorgeous children because you're a very handsome looking young man.
Oh, well, thank you. It depends. Well, I think my general handsomeness would override any potential ugliness from the other partner. I think that's fine.
I'm so glad that you're modest as well.
Oh, I know. We must be modest in this day and age.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is, it's interesting. I think I'd prefer to adopt.
Mm. Yeah.
Personally, rather than go through surrogacy and everything, not so much because I have any issues at all with surrogacy, but just because I think if there are young kids out there who need a loving home, I think, you know.
That's right.
I can supply that. Yeah.
Bottom line is, who wants to have sex with a test tube?
that's true. Yeah.
Couldn't
have
anything worse.
But I can.
But also, surrogacy costs you so much. It's a very expensive process.
Yeah, exactly.
A very expensive process. So I think adoption would be the one of the great ways to go to give somebody that is already here but needs a loving home. If you could give that person a loving home, I think it'd be wonderful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I did with Eddie.
Oh, yes.
You cute little fella.
Yeah.
So's Eddie.
Yeah. Well, that's. I see what you've done. I see what you've done. You've stolen a compliment.
Well, it's the only way I get them. A bit like Eddie with tennis balls. Moving right along.
Now, I was going to say, you're obviously a heavyweight fellow. You could stand up in a crowd and really put the fear of God into people with your stature and your size and your bulk and everything.
Do you actually see me wandering about the place?
This is Callum. He couldn't stand up in a strong wind.
But you've got confidence. Where did you get your confidence from?
I think it was just nurtured in me by my family and friends.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I was never really, bullies at school, I think, you know, would sort of try and shut me down because I was just enjoying myself generally, and they see me leaping about having fun, and they sort of, you know, be like, well, no, he shouldn't be doing that because no one else is. But no one else, my teachers, my mum, everyone, they've always been very, you know, just go for it. If you want to do it, go for it. And I think that's a wonderful thing. So be encouraging.
Yes, that's good. I came from an era where kids were made to shut up, seen and not be heard sort of thing.
Would not have survived in that era.
No.
Love the sound.
And I do think the art of parenting has changed massively since my generation.
Well, of course, we didn't have all the things that are going on in the world today. We never had television. We never had anything. All we had was the radio that went on at night time to hear the 6 o'clock news, and you sat around in the lounge room listening to the radio.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine families doing that now, sitting down listening to the radio?
Well, no, I can't. Everyone's on their different screens.
That's
these
right,
days.
Yes. They've all got their own television sets in their own rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Callum, one of our listeners has asked a question.
Are younger gay men wanting to live in Melbourne or Sydney? What's the best city to live in? Well, I prefer Melbourne, personally. I've been up to Sydney a couple of times. I haven't been out in Sydney much. I know one mate who was living in Melbourne and moved up to Sydney to be with his... be with his partner and now wants to move back down.
Yeah.
From what I've heard from different people, Melbourne is friendlier, a bit more relaxed. Like, mates will come down to Melbourne and go out and they'll find that the gay community is a lot more welcoming, whereas Sydney, it's a bit more cliquey.
Yeah.
Yeah, from what I've heard. But I think there's more employability options in Sydney. So I don't know. It depends what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Steady job or good mates or, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm. We often hear that's the difference between the two cities. The Sydney is more self-centred, and Melbourne people are more open and outright welcoming sort of thing. Yeah.
But that's not just the gay community.
That's not the gay.
In general.
That's just the general feeling. Yeah.
Like, how big is your house? What sort of yacht have you got? And what club do you belong to?
Yes. I'm always worried about the current youth and the temptations that are put in front of them in the modern world.
Which temptations are we talking about?
The temptations that I never had. So I've never had to deal with the problem because I'm beyond that now. Party drugs.
Oh, yeah.
and things like that. And of course, the risk of HIV, which we've lived through, but seems not to be the current message quite as strongly as we were, had drummed into us.
It's interesting because people seem to have the mentality that now we have PEP and PREP,
yeah.
And because HIV is no longer a death sentence and that you can live quite, well, yeah, you can live a very happy, fulfilling life with many fewer sort of health repercussions than you used to, that it's not as big of a risk, it's not as big of a danger, so people are taking
more risks.
Yeah. Which I think's very silly. Yeah. I think, why would you take the risk? I mean, it's not hard to practice safe sex.
No.
It's really very easy. Things happen, but yeah, it is a bit of a concern. I'm more concerned with the prevalence of sort of party drugs and how widely accepted they seem to be, especially in sort of club environments.
Yeah. And well, we know that youth has been wasted on the young, and I think the young have been tempted so much now with these sort of expectations of life that they're searching anywhere and everywhere to get what apparently is the high.
Yep. There's a message just come through from the person that asked the original question about Melbourne and Sydney, and
he
said, very, very true, status-driven and greed makes a younger generation more depressed.
Yes.
And then this one.
Oh.
Oh. Somebody's telling you off, Phil, for saying surrogacy is like having sex with a text tube.
Oh, well, we'll look up humour online.
Adoption is not possible for same-sex couples in Victoria, no, but we mentioned the fact that the government is trying to bring it in.
Yeah, they're hoping to bring it through.
Yeah. It's before the government at the moment. They're talking about it and the opposition are apparently not going to.
Supportive.
They're supportive of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Of it.
And I think that's the option that we would all go for is legalised adoption because there is much more in it.
And why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Indeed. So, sorry if we've offended you, but perhaps we should have expressed ourselves a little bit better for you.
Yeah, Phil.
there we go. Yes, so you're not worried about surviving youth?
No. Well, I think I almost have.
Well, they have, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, that's it, pretty much. I'm almost out of the official youth
this
bracket.
This could be a very dangerous year.
It could be. I'm worried about being famous and 27. That's
Watch
scary.
Out for Whoa. Trams and rhinos.
Yes.
Thanks very much, Callum, for being with us today.
Oh,
very
it's been
interesting.
An absolute pleasure.
Yes, yes.
Thank you very much.
Youth, yeah. Such an interesting area. Oh, I was there once.
Yeah, well, I was
long
there once.
Time, to... Last century.
We should do a show called Been There, Done That.
You're on Joy 94.9.
You too, make sure you keep Phil out of trouble.
Yeah.
Nah.
Melbourne's lovable radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us on this gorgeous day.
And we've had three messages from one person, unsigned. But
yes.
The first message came in almost at the beginning of the show, which we couldn't answer straight away. It says, go Hillary for first female president of the free world. And then followed that up a bit later with, would Hillary make a great president for gay youth? And then followed it up again, thank you for all these messages, Sydney has Alan Jones and we don't. Enough said, I agree. Melbourne is a multicultural and successfully educated city. And we've got one from Nina. Yes, a lovely one from Nina. Hi, Chris, Gordon and Phil and Callum. I'm really enjoying the program and have taken delivery of my book. Okay, Heather Has Two Mummies. Good on you, Nina. Hope you enjoyed it. It is a truly beautiful book. Lots of love, Nina. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Thank you. Very nice, Nina. Thank
Indeed.
You very much. Now, would Hillary Clinton be a great president for the gay community?
Not sure if it'd be any greater than the current president.
Well, he's done a lot of things, hasn't he, for this?
Yeah, I think provided you stick with the Democrats, you've got a future.
Yes, yes.
And try and keep the Republicans out of the White House for
well,
a little
they've got
while.
They do have the log cabin Republicans, which is the gay group of Republicans who because Abraham Lincoln was reputed to be gay, that's why they call them the log cabin
yeah,
Republicans.
Yeah, I don't think they'd have much say in policy, though.
Probably not, no. But because Hillary's come out to be quite gay-friendly in the last few years as well, which is rather good.
Well, she has to be modern.
Well, it is.
She's
right,
not a spring chicken.
Well, they have 37 states that have same-sex marriage, although some of them are being contested. And I know that Indiana and another couple of those southern states have got put forward laws that discriminate against gays, yes, and gays and lesbians.
The worst words you'll ever hear is the South will rise again.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So it's quite an interesting concept. But the 37 states over there, and I think it's the Supreme Court are bringing down their judgment on same-sex marriage as a nationwide thing in the Supreme Court later at the end of this month, or it's just in the next month, I'm not sure. I know it's very close to being brought down. So if the Supreme Court comes out in favour of same-sex marriage as being anti-same-sex marriage is against the Constitution. Mm. It's the constitutional thing which the Supreme Court does.
Yeah, you've got these little states trying to legalise discrimination.
Yes, that's right.
Blatant discrimination.
Blatant discrimination, yeah. Like it is Indiana and Carolina, I think.
Yeah, so they won't get away with that.
Yeah, well, they have done so far, but there's been an outpouring of everything. They tried to do the same thing with, the orange drink lady, Anita Bryant. Back in the 80s, she came out against homosexuality, and all the gays stopped drinking orange juice, and the orange growers in Florida went broke, so they had to sack up. Good.
Well, Chick-fil-A is an anti-gay chicken
Chick-fil-A
shop.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Yes.
At least they get exposed.
Yes,
for
which
their
is
a
great thing. So, it's quite amazing. But anyhow, we'll see what happens there.
Of course, marriage equality that's happening in the US at the moment is a state matter rather than a federal matter.
Yeah.
Well, it is, yes, but if the Supreme Court brings it down, overrides the states.
Yeah. Oh, yes, but the writing is definitely there on the wall.
And we're so progressive here in Australia, we can't even get a conscience vote from the Liberal Party.
No.
So why are we stuck in the Stone Age?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Libs here could do that and it'd be a win point.
Well, they need a lot of wins, don't they?
Yeah, but it's just odd that...
Well, we pay taxes, don't we?
I have paid
the
taxes
pink dollar.
All my life. And
did they have taxes at the start?
Oh, what are you talking about?
Well, when were the Romans?
Yeah, but see, that I've already always paid my taxation, and being a single gay man, or just a single man, never got anything from the government at all.
No.
Ever. Never. As a single person, you never got anything from the government. You had to be married with children.
And you can be immunised all you like, and they still try to take your baby allowance away from you.
Exactly right, yes. Yeah. Now, Phil.
Hello.
Way back in 1906, in a place where you've lived before, was it an almighty earthquake?
There was a giant
big bang.
Kaboom.
Yes.
That would be the San Francisco earthquake of 1906.
On April the 18th it was, yeah.
Well, I wasn't there at the time.
Weren't you?
Oh, so we can't blame you personally.
No, I didn't do it. But having felt a 7.1 earthquake in the same area, I can only imagine how much more scary this would have been.
Mm.
But the earthquake itself was only part of the story there, because that has happened in San Francisco in 1989. When you move the earth dramatically and quickly and very noisily, you break the pipes that are underground.
That's right. Ooh.
Some of those pipes have got water and some of them have got gas. And, well, we don't talk about the sewage pipes because
it's
not much of a story. Well, I think they're super flexible.
Oh.
Quite conveniently. But, San Francisco in 06, the fire spread from the result of the earthquake did more damage than the earthquake.
Yeah, actually, it destroyed more buildings, didn't it?
And a lot of people, I would imagine you couldn't buy earthquake insurance. It's hard now in an earthquake zone.
Yes.
And they've got the San Andreas and the Hayward Fault surrounding them.
That is exactly right.
So, you're not going to get a lot of insurance. So people were burning down their earthquake-damaged homes and offices to claim fire insurance.
Ah, separate creature. Yay.
Which is sort of a good way to spread a fire.
Wow. Now,
and with no water because the pipes are burst,
so you,
they couldn't fire it.
Why didn't they put in fire breaks?
Well, they did.
What?
The U.S. Army, the firefighters did all they could, and towards the end of the fire, I can't remember which part of the city it was, but there was a whole city block. It was probably a couple of miles long.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to make a fire break there and call it a day.
All right.
So they blew up all these buildings so they wouldn't burn. And then the wind changed and the fire went the other way.
So they blew up the whole block without for no reason whatsoever. Well,
it's a good way to get some new housing. But don't get the army to do a fireman's job, I think is the moral.
Yes, probably the moral of the story, yeah. I have actually seen photo. I think there's a very ancient black and white film that was, because that was the first major catastrophe that was ever filmed, I believe.
Was captured by photography is the
captured
term.
Captured by photography, yes. And I think I've seen a movie of it where everything is going and people are running around and shaking and all the rest of it.
Can you imagine they're in amongst all the fire? The photographer comes along and says, okay, everybody stand still for 5 minutes.
Take your photo, yes. Because they didn't have Instagram cameras in those days.
No, and video was in short supply.
Yeah.
We have another SMS.
Reagan was old when he was president as well. Age isn't a factor, but her credentials are much better than most her age, thanks to your response. Cheers. That's okay. Yes. We're here.
Indeed. Well, Ronald Reagan, of course, was running out of steam. I don't think he was possibly president material to begin with, although he had been in some fairly smart films.
No, he was only
but at least Hillary's proved herself.
He was only a B-grade actor at the best of times. That's all he ever was a B-grade actor. But he was the great communicator. He could talk to the public.
Yes.
Once again,
you know, people related to him on a personal basis.
Yes, this is right. Yeah.
I've seen him.
He said a lot.
Yes.
Well.
And Nancy used to consult an astrologer before he made any decisions. She was right into astrology, was Nancy, and she would consult her own psychic to find out what was going to happen with him.
Yes, moving right along.
There you go. That's the president that they had.
Yes, but I think Hillary has actually proved herself. She's got a little
smart cookie, that lady. She was a lawyer to start with. She studied law, and she and Bill got on very, very well, even after Bill's little triumphs with
dalliance.
Yes, but she proved to be a very, very, very good Secretary of State. Secretary of State, wasn't it? She,
yeah. But she's good, well qualified to be a president because she married one.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Well, just as qualified as any other Bushes were.
Yeah.
Hello.
That was in their
genes.
Don't
you knock our friend George W.
Yeah, but what about Jeb that's still coming through?
Jeb, well, the name says it all.
Yeah.
Jebediah.
On Friday, April the 16th, 2010, a pulsating column of smoke and ash rose into the air in Iceland.
That wasn't
8 kilometres. Mm. It was from a volcano called Island Mountain Glacier.
Yes, that's right. We're not going to say it in Icelandic. We can't speak the language.
Well, they changed the name of it to Bob Smith.
Oh, did
they? So that we could say
it. No, in fact, they changed it to E15.
Yes,
I think it's E and 15 letters, you see.
Didn't that cause a consternation in the travel industry?
Well, it did.
Which was the thing, you know, that really, the thing that upset them most, plus the fact that there was a lot of the ash fell in growing land on Europe, but the travel industry was really knocked for six because of that.
Well, the flights that were wanting to go over the pole and with the moving cloud going everywhere, they had to make sure they didn't fly through it because it buggers up the jet engines.
Well, they couldn't fly to Europe. There was no planes flying into Europe because of the dust that was in the air, because it mucks up the jet engines, it sucks it all in and grinds it all down because it was all...
Actually does more than that. There was a British Airways flight flew over Indonesia
a couple
of decades ago. Mm. It had to land in Perth, and they could not see out the front window. It had just been sandblasted.
Whoa.
And the paint had been taken off the exterior of the plane, and there was molten rock in the engines.
Yay.
Not a good way to fly.
Well,
No.
So there you are, a couple of cataclysmic events still happening in this world, and you never know when they're going to go off.
So stay home and stare at the ceiling.
Oh, Egyptian PT.
That's what they say. What if Sam the ceiling needs painting?
Thank you very much, Phil. Thank you very much to our texters. It's lovely to get the interaction with you. And we had quite a few other little things on our list, but you raised a couple of good topics there. So
we're happy to answer them.
We are. You can create the program as much as we can.
That's right. It's just about time to get out of here.
Well, we're going to go out with...
And, of course, we've got a big birthday coming up on Thursday.
Oh, yes. Mine? Oh, no.
No, not yours. Not yet. You're next month, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes, I thought so. But no, it's Miss Mary Kathleen something or other O'Brien.
O'Brien, yes. Yes.
Who's named after the town where the Simpsons lived.
Dusty what? Springfield.
Springfield. Springfield. They don't live in Dusty.
Yes, Dusty's birthday on things. So after these messages, we're going to play a bit of Dusty.
You're on Joy.
Uplifting. Informing. Empowering. Joy 94.9.
And as we said, we've got a song, Dusty Springfield, but she's doing it with the Pet Shop Boys, and she's jazzed it up a little bit.
Yes.
It's, what's it called?
What We Do in Private.
Mm. Oh, well, there you go.
That's I thought we were talking about the song.
Yes.
And so, yeah, we remember Dusty. What a tortured person she was.
Yep.
But, talented.
She's a great singer.
Great singer.
Yep.
So enjoy.
Happy birthday Thursday for Dusty.
Catch you next week. Cheerio.
Bye for now.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.